It is Monday morning, November 17th, and our study today is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. As we get into the text, let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth about our salvation, the truth about Christian living, the truth about church and church life and church leadership. And we pray that you'll make our hearts teachable today as we study this chapter of Scripture. This is our prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. If we wanted to give a title to this chapter, it could be Instructions to the Pastor, with exhortations and guidance about church leadership. Let me read the first few verses. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And if anyone also competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crop. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Now, Paul begins the instruction or exhortation to Timothy as he calls on him to be strong in the grace of Christ, that is, in Christ Jesus. Timothy, be strong, and here's the source of your strength. Where is it? It is in the grace of God. Timothy, if you do one thing in your life, learn all you can about the grace of God and experience the grace of God by receiving it and resting in it. If you want to be a strong Christian leader, you must know and experience the grace of God. And then he reveals that this grace is in Christ. It comes no other way. Grace is the gift of God in Christ. We cannot earn it. We cannot deserve it. There's nothing we do to add to it. It is in Christ and in Christ alone, never from us. Now in verse 2, Paul goes on to give a sort of a summary of the Christian ministry. What is ministry all about for the Christian, for the pastor, for the church leader? Paul indicates it is, first of all, learning. Timothy has heard from Paul the doctrinal truths that are in the New Testament, in these New Testament letters. The things you have heard from me among many witnesses. Timothy has been a learner, and now he will be a learner all his life, but he's in a position to teach others. Ministry is learning and receiving, and then it is teaching faithful men. Commit these things to faithful men. Now, what does he mean by that? He means people who are sincere students of the Word. People who have teachable hearts, who want to learn and want to grow And they are faithful in receiving the Word of God. And these are men that Timothy is to teach. Now, it is true that as we work with people in the Christian life as leaders, not everyone is going to be faithful. There will be some who drop out. There will be some who go astray. And sometimes we have to be careful that we don't waste our time on people who are not going to do anything with the teaching. Commit to faithful men. And what is there about these men? Why, these men will be able to teach others also. And Christianity is generational. It starts with the father, to the son, to the grandson, to the great-grandson. And here it is in this passage. Paul to Timothy, Timothy to faithful men, and these faithful men will teach others also. The Christian leadership for a pastor is not just preaching sermons. It is working with people. It is training men for leadership. In fact, a pastor has to think of this. How can I multiply myself? I can only do this by teaching faithful men, by spending personal time with these men, and carefully going through the scripture, and exhorting them and encouraging them, and talking about every aspect of life. Their home life, family life, devotional life, their testimony. This is the ministry. The things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, Paul gets into this next section as viewing the Christian life as a soldier and an athlete and as a farmer. Verses 3 and 4. You, therefore, Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. The Christian as a soldier. That's a different way to look at it. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. You therefore endure hardness. Now, soldiers face difficulties, battles, conflicts, disciplines, rigorous training, and he must learn to be obedient. You therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. As a Christian, we must not think that life is always easy, that we will never face suffering, hardship, difficulty, problems, conflicts, health problems, financial problems. They will be there. Now, this is especially true for the Christian leader. He's going to have to learn to endure hardship. It's a fact. As a soldier of Jesus Christ, he does not engage himself with the affairs of this life. That is, he doesn't get so involved in worldly affairs that he is distracted from the ministry and from his calling as a Christian. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. He keeps himself free to serve and free to be a soldier of Christ. Then he thinks of Jesus Christ as his commanding officer. That's the way we live. A Christian has a commanding officer. A pastor, a Christian leader, has a commanding officer. And it isn't us. It isn't any other human. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come willingly, lovingly, desiringly to serve him and to serve under him and to follow him and to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy, be a good, good soldier. Now Paul goes on in verse 5 to speak of an athlete. And if anyone also competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So here's an athlete. And many times Paul refers to athletics in his letters. He speaks of running the race. He speaks of receiving the award, and he is into athletics. An athlete, of course, must be well-trained, must be in good shape, physically, mentally. He must be diligent. He must learn to compete with everything that is within him. And he must run according to the rules. What does that mean? According to the guidance of the Scripture, be willing to run the race according to God's leadership, following Christ in all that he gives us here in the Bible. Then Paul goes on in verse 6 to speak of the farmer. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crop. The farmer, first of all, is a hard, hard worker. Farmers work hard. They work from dawn to dusk. And they have to stay on the job and be very careful each day. A typical life of a farmer could be that he gets up at daylight and he goes out and takes care of the animals. And he goes out and works in the field till about 8 o'clock. And he comes in for breakfast. And breakfast is one of the most hearty meals for the farmer. And they have a very, very strong nutrition. And then it is said that many times they have a piece of apple pie along with their breakfast. So the farmer is a hard worker. The Christian leader and pastor must be a hard worker. He cannot be lazy. He cannot avoid the hard work. He must work hard day and night, day in and day out. Now, secondly, the farmer must trust God. As hard as he works, it is God who brings forth the fruit. God Almighty must provide the rain. at the right time, in the right place. The Lord God Almighty must provide the sunshine at the right time, in the right place. The Lord God must put the nutrients in the soil that will produce the crop. No matter how hard a Christian worker may work, how hard a pastor may work, it is never enough to produce fruit. The main work of the pastor is to trust the Lord, is to live by faith, and to say, "Here it is, Lord. You must bring about the fruit. Only you can do this. I am very limited in what I can do. And I look to you and trust you for the fruit that must come." So Paul introduces this passage in this way, telling Timothy to be strong, reviewing for him the ministry, and giving the illustration of a soldier and an athlete and a farmer. Now, beginning in verse 8, Paul gets to the review of suffering. Let's read beginning at verse 8. "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not changed. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." And so Paul calls upon Timothy to remember Jesus Christ, who was crucified and who is risen from the dead, and to remember Paul's suffering. And he is now in prison for preaching the gospel. But the magistrates and those who threw him into the prison looked at him as an evil doer. But Paul says that while I was in prison, the word of God is not changed, because he gave testimony to those around him. And then he speaks of going from suffering to glory. "I endure all things for the sake of the elect." And just a word here, election is one of the most important, vital truths in the scripture. Yet today, one of the most neglected truths there is. Many Christians have never heard of their election because it isn't being taught. "I suffer all things for the sake of God's elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." And so Paul speaks of himself as a sufferer, and wants to remind Timothy of that great truth. Now we move on to verse 14 through 18, which again brings up the idea of being a worker. Verse 14, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord that they do not strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. The Christian worker, what does he do? Well, he works in the Word of God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and may I say also rightly putting it together. He works in the Word. A pastor, a Christian leader, works in the Word. And he loves that work. He loves to dig for the truth in the Scripture. He loves to meditate. He loves to study the history. He loves to study the grammar. He loves to be able to package it and arrange it and outline it so it is presentable and he can teach others. The worker is approved of God. Be diligent to present yourself approved of God. Now, how is he approved of God? He is approved by being a diligent worker in the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of truth. What does that mean? He is careful to interpret accurately. Now, this is where we Christians differ. We don't all interpret exactly alike. You could say, why are there so many denominations? Well, over doctrinal differences. We don't all believe exactly the same. And if we do not study carefully, we will not be accurate in interpreting. Now, if we do not do this, then we take up the problems in verses 16 to 18 of people who become profane and vain babblings and lead to more ungodliness. Timothy, avoid vain babblings, vain striving, useless, senseless debates. Don't waste your time in them. And then he gives the example of two men, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who strayed from the truth. Evidently, they were not men who were diligent in working in the Word of God, and they have strayed. Now, in verse 19, Paul speaks of the solid foundation. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. There is a solid foundation, and the Lord establishes that, and he knows what's going on. He knows who are those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And so, Timothy, be careful about this, that you are able to discern people and where they are. Keep the solid foundation established by the Lord. Then in this next section, Paul talks about the vessels in the house. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and hay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now, there are vessels of honor, typified by gold and silver. There are vessels of dishonor, wood and clay. And so, in the church, there are people who are not really in Christ. They hang around churches, they go to Bible studies, they give loud testimonies, but it isn't real. They are not people of honor. People of honor are those who are God's elect, who worship the Lord sincerely, who study His Word. And then Paul goes on to speak about the distinction between true teachers and false teachers, and what the true teacher avoids in verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and be patient. So, Timothy, there are some things to avoid, things to shun, things to watch for. True teachers do this. The faithful pastor must separate himself from youthful lusts. Now, there are lusts that last forever, but there are some things in our youth which cause us to look for and desire that are not worthy. Thus, avoid foolish arguments and join with those who pursue righteousness and peace. And he must have a gentle spirit. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but to be gentle, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Here is a very, very important instruction for the pastor and the Christian leader to be careful for those who are in a condition maybe of backsliding, who are straying from the truth a bit, in humility correcting those. They might even oppose the pastor. Be careful that we do not just hurt them to the point they will never come back, but to be careful and gentle and patient with this goal and aim: to restore them, that they may come to their senses, return to the truth, and worship God in sincerity, and become a useful and valuable vessel in the house of God. This then is the teaching of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, Lord, we pray that you'll bless this teaching to our hearts, apply it to our lives, and cause us to be diligent workers in your body. In Jesus' name, amen.